Welcome to Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast where seeing things differently inspires limitless possibilities. The Limitless podcast was created in order to inform, educate, entertain, and share stories from within the blind and partially sighted community that show that the opportunities for those who are blind or partially sighted are truly limitless. And now, it is my pleasure to introduce you to your host, the founder of Blind Beginnings, Sean Marcellet.
Welcome back to Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast. I'm your host, Sean Marcellet. Thank you for joining us. Today, we're talking about the importance of summer camps for, I guess, children and teens who are blind and partially sighted. And I'm excited to have a house full today. We have Clement, Alethea, and Nolan. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, it's good to be back.
Good to be back. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
All right. So why don't you each remind our listeners who you are? Tell us a little bit about yourselves.
All right. So my name is Clement. I'm from Vancouver. I am 31 and I'm totally blind and have been since birth.
Great.
I'm Alethea. I'm 17 and I've also been completely blind since birth.
I'm Nolan. I'm 16. I am also completely blind, have been since birth. I do have a bit of light perception though.
So let's talk about our camp experiences. So I'm going to start because I'm the oldest and I'm not going to say how old I am. But summer camp was really important to me when I was a teenager. I think I started going to camp when I was 13 or 14. I didn't really know about it before that. So I went to the camp on Bowen Island. And that was the first time that I connected really with a group of teens who were visually impaired. At that time, when I was a teenager, they also had this Go For It program, which was kind of like a weekend program for teens around career and employment, which I also participated in, I think, in grade 11, when I was in grade 11. And that was for students in grade 11 and 12. And we had to do like mock job interviews and things like that. But again, it happened at the Bowen Island camp, which is on Bowen Island, go figure. And then I went to the CNIB SCORE program after I graduated from high school. So the year that I graduated, I went to SCORE, which was a 3-week camp in Ontario, and kids from across Canada would amalgamate in Ontario for 3 weeks and learn about computers, access technology, and careers. So those were my three experiences and they were all fantastic. And I'm sure I'll speak more about them, but pretty life-changing, I would say. But I'd love to hear from you guys what your camp experience has been. And maybe we'll just go kind of oldest to youngest here. So Clement, why don't you go next?
So I also went to Bowen. I started going when I was 9, all the way till I was 20, right until the end when the lodge shut down. And so aside from that, I went to Camp Hornby as well, from the age of 11 till 21. And then I volunteered for a few years after that. And I've also been part of the Blind Beginnings Family Adventure Camp since it started. And that's, it where camp is concerned for me. I never did SCORE, unfortunately. There were always other things going on, but camp was always fun. There were always, you know, like you said, Sean, it was the first place where I kind of got to hang out with my peers on a regular basis. And Bowen especially was awesome because as I got older, there were a couple of camps that kind of happened back to back. So we got to stay for a couple weeks at a time. So that was always a great time.
Mm-hmm.
So from my camp experience, it all started at the youngest I could go to Camp Zajac, run by the CNIB, which I believe is at the age of 8 or 9. And that was fun. I spent a week there doing lots of stuff. And I went for as long as I could or until the last year, 2018, because after that, Zajac wasn't there anymore, which I was disappointed. But then Blind Beginnings running Hornby, I went there after Zajac. And at Hornby, we would spend, I think it's 3 nights, 4 days, and doing many different activities, just a great amount of fun.
I used to go to a lot of CNIB camps when I was little, and I don't really remember much about that, but I've had a couple more recent camp experiences. I went to the Camp Squamish, the Easter Seals CNIB camp, whatever it's called. And I also went to Camp Hornby.
So I'm really curious to know why these programs were important to you guys. I kind of made a list of why they were important to me, but I would really like to hear from you first, because another thing I'm curious about is, you know, when I went to camp, it was the only time that I was able to really connect with my visually impaired friends and peers. So, you know, there wasn't all these ways of communicating electronically, like Messenger and WhatsApp and email, and like there wasn't even email when I went to camp. So we were literally talking on the phone, but we had to pay long distance charges when we talked on the phone, so it was expensive to talk to each other, and hard to get together. And often I had friends in Victoria and Cranbrook and Powell River and places that I wasn't going to be going to, so it was kind of like once a year when I would get to see my friends. So that obviously was very impactful. And I'm really curious to hear if camp is as important now that you can communicate kind of between camps. So I'd love to hear from you. Why is camp so important?
I feel like camps are important in terms of making new connections and meeting new friends there who you can then stay in contact with after camp. In fact, that was what happened at the CNIB camp that I went to. I met a couple people there who I stayed in contact with for a while after the camp. And same with Hornby too, really. And I feel like camps are also good for, if you have friends who you are already in contact with online, who you can meet at the camps, that's also something too.
So it kind of goes both ways. Like it's a place to make friends, but it's also a place to see your friends that you can only really connect with online.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
For me, I think camp is extremely important because like Nolan said, there's a friend connection that you make after you go to that camp, but I also believe that an in-person connection is also great too, because unfortunately we're not at the age yet, like, cause I like my hugs, so I like to hug my friends in person, and we're not at the age where we can do that virtually yet, although it could be coming. But I believe that it's important to create those new bonds, to foster new bonds. But I also feel like camp is important because it's like a second family. You go there, you're not afraid to show your weaknesses. You're not afraid to show, I'm not good at this or I'm not good at that. You're not afraid to ask for help because everyone there understands what you go through on a daily basis. Or if they don't, they want to learn, or they know to some degree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good point.
I think camp is definitely still important. Even to me as an adult, I miss camp. I would love to have either an adult camp or more chances to volunteer for camps, because in addition to everything, you know, along with everything Nolan and Alethea said, one of the things that always struck me about camp was it's the only time for a lot of us to be out from under our families. Especially when you're younger, between the ages, I'd say, of, you know, nine and 18, typically, you know, parents are still trying to figure things out, and they're still trying to work out what is okay to let your blind kid do and what is not okay to let your blind kid do. And sometimes, you know, not knocking anyone's parenting, but that gets a little bit stuck if parents aren't confident or if they're not sure what to do. And so camp then becomes the only time when you can really explore what your potential is, because you might not go for you know, you might not go rock climbing during the year because your parents aren't sure how to teach you or whether you, you know, whether they think you can even do it. Mm-hmm. You might not get to try martial arts during the year because parents don't think, again, not aren't necessarily sure how to do it or whether you can. Lots of, and, you know, stuff like learning tech, which is admittedly probably less of a thing now than it was, you know, when some of us were growing up. That was also something that, you know, parents had sometimes, my parents for sure, had struggled figuring out how to teach me. And so those, you know, there's a lot of things that you can learn at camp that you can't learn anywhere else, especially at that age, because you are away for your, you are away from your parents for the 1 week. Or if it's family camp, your parents are there and they are in an environment that they understand is for the purpose of teaching you these things. And so it kind of not forces parents, but it gives parents a chance to kind of back off a little bit and see what happens when kids are in an environment where they can thrive and they can learn different things. So those are some, you know, some of the reasons why camp is important to me still. But again, everything Alethea and Nolan just said about making connections and keeping those connections, because I think as nice as it is to have ways to connect virtually that we do now, nothing really replaces being able to hang out face to face. I think COVID really taught all of us that, and that's kind of reinforced my view about how important it is to gather together whenever possible.
Yeah, great points. It's interesting because some of the things that you have all mentioned are quite similar. I think obviously connecting with other teens who are blind was really important for me. I didn't have that opportunity in other aspects of my life. It was probably the first time I felt normal as a blind person, which from the time that I found out that I was visually impaired until I started to go to camp and meet other teens who were blind and realize, like, hey, these people are normal and they're blind. So maybe I am too. Like, it was just, that was really huge for me. And I also wrote down, Clement, the opportunity to be independent from away from parents. So, not exactly the same as you're describing. I want to dig deeper into the sort of kind of like exploring your potential piece. But for me, it was like, I had to learn how to do laundry when I went to SCORE because it was 3 weeks and it literally said in the instructions, make sure your child knows how to do laundry. And it was the first time I flew on a plane by myself. And, you know, so those opportunities to kind of like do something on your own that, I don't know, like a lot of teens maybe don't even do yet, but certainly yeah, no, as a blind
teen. I completely agree. And I think that's one of the things that I was including. I kind of stated it more generally, but those things are definitely included. Mm-hmm. Laundry, doing dishes at Hornby, mm-hmm. Learning how a cafeteria style of eating works, because typically at home, that's not how we need to eat. Mm-hmm. You know, all of those things. You know, learning how to move through a food line, you know, all of those things are things that a lot of us learn at camp that we wouldn't have gotten the opportunity to do otherwise. Mm-hmm. Because for me, it was always, if there was a buffet or a cafeteria line, it was just sit down and we'll get the food for you. Just let me know
right.
what you want.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
And so it totally is exactly what you said, you know, being able to have opportunities that you normally wouldn't have at home. And that, you know, it wasn't just rock climbing, martial arts or sports. It was all the little things.
Mm-hmm. Rolling up your own sleeping bag at the end of camp,
making your own bed in the morning. Mm-hmm. You know, for us at Bowen, you know, that was a thing, right?
So yeah, yeah. It's funny you mentioned the food line, because when I first went to Hornby, I was quite shocked at how we were doing meals. I'm like, we're all just going to line up with our plates and go through this food line and then walk around with plates of food when we can't see. That's interesting. And somehow, you know, sometimes there's a bit of an accident, but for the most part, it works out okay.
it does. And it's amazing when you're in an environment where everyone understands mm-hmm. and is okay. It's like, okay, well, if someone spills, that's fine because that is going to happen. And everyone mm-hmm. is on the lookout and trying to help each other.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. Like I didn't realize how valuable that skill set would be, knowing how a food line works. And knowing how to take empty dishes to places, until I got older, and now I'm part of a lot of communities where there is exactly this kind of food system where people line up for food, grab it, and then, you know, once you're done eating, you just take your own dishes to wherever it is in the room.
Actually, another cool thing that would happen at Hornby was there would be helpers that would set up the dining hall, put the chairs down, make sure it was ready, and then clear the dishes away from the tables and clean up after everybody left, which again, like, you know, blind people carrying dirty plates and cups and whatnot around and like is awesome, right? Like a bit not what you would expect, but also fantastic, and people help out. And
with the family adventure camp, it went further because we actually had, you know, groups that cooked, not just prepare, not just set up the room or clean up the dishes, but also cooked the actual meal. Which is another different experience because it teaches you how to cook in a more kind of assembly line, bigger group setting as opposed to at home, which is very, very different.
Yeah, and that was very intentional. And that was all about showing parents who might be observing on the sidelines, like, look, your kid can help out at home. The other sort of benefit that I felt when I was going to camp, I kind of felt like our blindness was irrelevant or erased almost, like, because everybody had this thing in common, it didn't matter at all. And that's a really special experience, I think. And I don't know if you guys feel that, and maybe not as much because you can connect, but I don't know. I felt like it's sort of been mentioned, you know, everyone kind of understands, like Alethea, you said, if you need to ask for help, you don't feel embarrassed because people understand why you're asking for help and everyone's kind of in the same boat. It really just allowed me to feel like I could just be a teenager and not a blind teenager, not a visually impaired teenager, just a teenager around other teens.
At the camp that I went to for the CNIB, it was actually not just the CNIB. So it was more than just blind people. And most of the, so the CNIB was sort of like one group. There was like a dorm, like cabin type thing for the people from the CNIB to sleep in. And the only problem was that most of them were both younger and had a lot more vision than me. And there were actually only like two other blind teenagers who I could really socialize. So I ended up spending all my time with them at the time. My experience at Hornby a year later was, however, a lot different. A lot more people my own age who were also blind. And I did already have friends there who I knew. So maybe that made a difference too.
I'm curious, when you would go back from camp, this is all of you, and tell your parents about some of the things you did, were they surprised? Did it change their perception of what you were capable of? Did it make a difference?
My parents weren't necessarily surprised ever. It was more like they did enjoy hearing about it. They were interested in seeing what sort of different stuff I could do, but it wasn't really, they sort of knew that I was more, you know, capable.
Hard no in my case, unfortunately. Sometimes parents just don't change, and mine were very much of the persuasion that, well, you could do it at that environment because it was orchestrated well and it was planned well, so you guys could do that kind of stuff. But
really?
That is a very, you know, camp thing, and it's not applicable to the other 358 days of the year or whatever. So that was a little unfortunate.
That's too
for
bad.
Me, when I would go home and tell my parents, oh, I did this and I did that, they have a very bright outlook on it. And I think part of being more positive about having a blind child is having that, okay, they can put their minds to do whatever they want to, you know? Yes, there's, and for us as parents, it's going to be hard when we see them make mistakes. Or as a sighted person, you're like, oh, careful, careful, or something is going to happen. But with the understanding that in order for mistakes to happen, that's how, when mistakes happen, that's how things improve and progress, and that's how you learn new skills.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, you know, going to Ontario to this 3-week program did kind of make my parents realize, oh, maybe she should have been doing her own laundry for a while now. And like, oh, there is, you know, you can travel on your own as a visually impaired person. Like, there's supports at the airport. And like, I think it did kind of make them realize that maybe I could do more than I was doing. So that was definitely a benefit for me. So Clement, you mentioned technology. I know when you were a teen, there was a tech camp, there was a transition camp, there like Braille literacy camp, a band camp. Alethea, Nolan, you guys came to our fashion camp. Life skills, like sort of there's like lots of different activities or themes of camps. Does it make a difference? Like, I guess what I'm saying is, would you go to anything because it's camp? You know, like I remember the Braille literacy camp. I only one summer was kind of responsible for all the camps, and it, boy, that was a lot of work. It was a lot of Braille. It was a lot of time doing Braille in the summer and not a lot of time for like swimming in the ocean and, you know, free time and things like that. But like, what are those experiences like when you're at a camp to learn skills? Is it still meaningful and fun and worthwhile? Is it hard to be doing that in the summer? Like, tell me about that.
I can't speak for others, but I would say yes. It was very, very much worth every minute of it because, again, it's, you know, we keep coming back to this theme of connections, and I think that's really where it's at for me. Getting to do this stuff together was awesome because for Braille literacy was a little more on the work side. Like you said, there was Braille, there was a lot of writing, but those are soft skills mm-hmm. that you could take to, you know, something like an interview process or writing a resume or even just writing for the sake of writing. Mm-hmm. But the fun part about Braille literacy was you got to go places and you had to write about those places. So those were the parts of it that were the unique and fun parts, like being able to go to an auto mechanic, being able to go to a piano tuner. That was cool. I've never, you know, I didn't know pianos needed tuning, before that. And it was really cool being able to see the insides and like the guts of a piano, 'cause I'd never seen one before. You know, the local grocery store on Bowen Island, which, you know, again, it's something you never really get to do normally. You don't get to walk around a grocery store and have someone explain to you how everything works. Mm. So for Braille literacy, you know, that was what made it fun. And then for teen camp, of course, it was fun because I'm dating myself again, but this is when, you know, instant messaging and stuff were first starting to crop up. And so it was just fun to learn how to do it because then everybody would be like, I could send messages now. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and there were things that, you know, everyone was figuring out at the same time. You had the odd person who was not smart and would leave their, you know, leave their computer signed in, and people would mess around with that. And, you know, so there were, but everything happened like that because we were doing it together with other people. So when you made a mistake, you had some people who would laugh about it, and you had people who would encourage you and say, okay, well, that's fine because I did that too. And when you learn something, you could share with your friends and you could be like, hey, look at what I can do now. And you know what? I did find there was still enough time to do all the camp things. Mm-hmm. There was still time to go swimming. There was still time to go for, you know, hikes or do things like all-nighters and talent shows and all the kind of typical things you would expect at a camp. So I always found it was a great balance, and that applies to Bowen and Hornby and, advanced leadership and all the camps I've been to. Mm-hmm. The togetherness part, I think, is really where, the value is for me. So I love learning skills. I love doing new things as long as I get to do it with people.
Right.
I think those same skills would be still interesting to learn, but a lot less fun and a lot less engaging if I was, you know, had to sit through hours and hours of Braille by myself.
And I imagine when you're doing Braille in the school year, you are by yourself. You're the only one doing Braille for the most part. So like to be with a group of other people that are learning this specific skill would be way more fun, right?
Yeah, and you're learning in a fun medium, right? Because in school, you know, you're, at least with me, it was, you know, with a vision teacher and I would be in the resource room. So it was just me and the vision teacher for, you know, an hour or 2 hours, you know, during the week. And it was boring.
Yeah.
You know, sure, I learned, but I didn't really get to do anything fun with Braille. But, you know, at camp, it was actually incentive to write because I just went and saw this really cool thing. Like I saw how a car, I didn't know a car could be lifted off the ground, you know, that high to look at the underneath. And, you know, so it was really cool to actually write about it. You know, or things like standing under, a, you know, the garage door as it closed because they were showing us, oh, it doesn't actually, you know, it doesn't keep going down if it detects a certain level of thing.
Oh, neat.
You know, so that was, those are cool things to write about because you're like, wow, I've never experienced those things before. And I get to tell people about it. And you got to kind of see, you know, and for us at Braille Lit, just the last thing is, you know, they had a newspaper, which
that got delivered every morning.
Yeah. And, you know, we would have to be responsible for helping write that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you kind of got an impression of how news works and how press works with, you know, and again, now, you know, we know half the people here nowadays don't even know what a newspaper actually is. Right? You know, you get to find out how these things are written, you know, and it gives you a more critical eye when you look at things like that, for sure.
That's cool. Hi there, listeners. I just wanted to interrupt to tell you how much we appreciate you, but we really want to get our message out there to as many people as possible. So if you are enjoying this podcast, please help us by sharing, liking, subscribing, leave us a rating. And we are so grateful to you for listening each week. And now back to this episode. What about you guys, Alethea, Nolan? Does it matter if it's fashion or if it's life skills or what the topic is like, or is that not as fun as something like Hornby?
I don't really think it matters as long as you get to do something fun in the camp, because I believe when learning, when you want to learn something, you want to apply it in a fun way. And I think camp demonstrates that. And I also think that camp brings out new concepts or teaches you new things of different things in life, like Clement said about the car jack. And when you actually get to, as a blind person, physically touch what you're dealing with and the concepts, that really, at camp, it really instills in your brain, oh, okay, I didn't know this, and I'm learning something extremely new here.
Right.
For me, it kind of depends, honestly, on a few different factors. If it's being taught to you in like a fun way, sort of like they said, then yes, it becomes more, you know, more enjoyable to learn these skills. And it also may depend on like who else is coming to the camp. Like if you have friends there, then that could be, I'm not saying this is always the case, but I'm saying that it could be another thing you could add to it.
Of course. Like,
if I come to this camp that's about a topic I may not be terribly interested in, and there are people I don't know there, like, I don't know anyone there, then maybe it's not going to be the most fun experience ever. But if I have a couple friends there who I haven't seen in person for a while, that could be nice to actually catch up with them face to face. But it also goes the other way. Like if I come to a camp that has, like, for example, in October of 2022, I went to a camp in Ontario that was like a Braille creative writing camp. And I didn't really know anyone there, but I'm actually really interested in books and literature and creative writing in general. So that camp was actually one of the most enjoyable experiences I'd had of camps at that point.
I'm thinking of like Go For It. I mentioned this career weekend program that I went to, and I definitely, you know, like when you're 16, do you really want to practice writing resumes and do job interviews? And they filmed us doing the job interviews, and then we had to watch our job interview for to kind of get feedback on what we did well and what we didn't do well. And it was a lot of work, and it was kind of stressful. And but I'm still glad I went because I had friends there. So I totally know what you mean, Nolan. Like, and I get it. Like, yeah, if it was a way that I could connect with my friends that I didn't get to see otherwise, I was going to go regardless of the activity, right? It's kind of like you could tell me that we were learning to clean toilets and I probably still would have gone because seeing those friends was important to me.
I remember going to the fashion camp and I wasn't really that into fashion, and I'm still not a huge fashion person, but like I had a few friends who were going there, and I think some I'd actually be meeting in person for the first time because I did connect with people through online Blind Beginnings programs.
Right.
So that was a whole thing that really made me want to go.
Yeah, I totally get it. I'm just curious, what are some of your favorite camp memories? Does anybody have, I don't know, a crazy memory or a funny memory or a story or something?
So many. I could do a whole blog about favorite camp memories.
Okay, give us one.
So, you know, for a lot of us, especially as totally blind kids, driving is going to be something that is going to be a pipe dream for a while. And one of the favorite things at Hornby that we always used to do was originally it was a golf cart, and then it became a tractor. The vehicle didn't, you know, evolve. Okay. We just had two different vehicles, but
okay.
It was just clarifying.
The golf cart turned into a tractor. What?
Yeah. Right. Talk about evolution.
Yeah.
But it was the funnest thing to be able to drive around for 15, 20 minutes and then have all of your friends do it and watch people, you know, experience this thing that we hear so much about. Especially, you know, for me, as someone who likes cars and as someone who, you know, was a little jealous when I hit 16 and everyone else was talking about the driver's license and I was like, dang it. It was a cool thing to be able to do. And the fact that we got to do it every year, like that was, I know that was a highlight for me, and I know that was a highlight for a lot of people too. And the other thing for me was the first time, you know, even though I went as a volunteer at the Blind Beginnings Family Adventure Camp, when we actually cooked a meal together, I've always loved to cook, but I never cooked with people. I kind of did things at home where I cooked for myself or, you know, stuff like that. But it was amazing to find out that, oh, like this is how all of those community gatherings that I go to, this is how the food turns out. People actually are in the back of the kitchen, you know, as a group doing things and passing things around and, you know, asking people to check things, which was a really cool experience. I think it was something very unique because, again, like we said earlier at the beginning, you know, we typically at home when you cook, it's for a small group of people. There's usually one person, maybe two. But when you're cooking in a camp setting or a church setting or a community kind of event setting, that's a whole different ball game. And it was really cool to be able to experience that from the inside as it was, as opposed to, you know, just kind of seeing the food come out and be like, I don't know what happens behind those doors, you know? So those are two. There's more, but those.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's funny, as you were talking, I was jotting down a couple. I'm like, oh, now I have three. Okay. Alethea, do you have a favorite camp memory?
I think for me, like Sean said, I did go to the fashion show, and the first Blind Beginnings held life skills camp. And I think my favorite memory from the life skills camp especially was just feeling accomplished making meals mm-hmm. through like the hard work that I put in to like, okay, mixing the vegetables in the pot or plating things or, you know, like just all the prep work and like and going through the whole process of making a meal in general. Mm-hmm. In terms of Hornby Camp, my favorite memory from there, I would say is when you get to hang out with each other in person and just have a good time in general.
Yeah. So kind of that just hanging out with friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was probably my favorite thing when I was a teen as well. The organizers would try to plan all these cool activities and things for us to do. And all we wanted to do was just yep. sit and chat.
And half the time we wouldn't do them because we were just like, I just want to hang out with people.
Well, we got forced to do the activities, but yeah. when I was a kid. Nolan, how about you? Do you have a favorite camp memory or story?
I have actually a couple of them that I can think of, and they were all from Hornby last year.
Mm.
I really enjoyed that camp. So one I can think of was the final, you know, the
talent show
party after
the party
on the last night, right after the talent show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The party. And, what I remember was like, we were doing some dances and stuff, and I'm not good at dancing. So I just jumped to the beat of the song.
Nice.
And then like, my legs got like really tired afterward because it was like a really fast song, 3 minutes straight of jumping.
All-nighters were a great staple from camp too, by the way.
Oh,
all-nighters. Slipping one other one in there.
That was a bit different with my camp experience because a lot of the younger boys were in my cabin. So we had a couple of kids pretending to be Batman or something all night. So it was kind of hard to sleep.
Oh, God.
And then I remember explaining to, I think it was Alethea, about like, oh, how was the girls' cabin? My cabin was, you know, really loud that night, and I kept telling this, and then she was like, oh yeah, that's so nice. We just had a completely, you know, quiet, everyone played cards and then went to bed, and it was fun.
Very civilized.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's hard for me to remember back to actually being a camper and my favorite. I think it was just hanging out mostly and the campfire sing along, which is always my favorite. That will always be my favorite. But just thinking about, I love talent night. I didn't love it as much when I was a camper, but I really love it in my role now, being able to watch everybody sort of showcase their talents. And Alethea, you playing the drums at Hornby is one of my favorite memories because you just blew everybody away. Of course, Alethea didn't have a drum kit or anything, so she just created one with buckets, upside down buckets, and just blew our minds. So that is yeah. one of my favorite memories.
I can echo that one for sure.
Yeah, that was so cool. Sure.
That was amazing.
I was hoping I could bring some stuff, but then my mom's like, no, it's not going to fit in the car.
Yeah.
Drum sets are not portable. They're, yeah.
Yeah. No. It doesn't matter. Usually. You didn't need it. You did awesome.
No, I didn't need it.
That's cool. So we're sad because Hornby isn't going to be available to us this summer, and Bowen is gone, and, you know, some of these amazing locations don't exist for us anymore. Of course, we're going to try a new location, but I think one of my hopes was in this conversation was to kind of, you know, get to the bottom of like, does it matter where we are? And maybe it doesn't. It matters that we get to come together and do fun activities and build friendships and, you know, be with each other and kind of have our limits tested and build confidence and all of those things. So maybe, you know, if it's in a new location, it's still going to be great. That's my hope anyways.
I would agree with that.
I would completely agree with that too.
Yeah. I think, yeah, you know, Bowen and Hornby are nostalgic, you know, but it's, it's only really nostalgic for a small group of us because we've been there forever and ever. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's, you know, it's always nice to go back to the same place, you know, every year. I remember the first time going back to Hornby after the pandemic, I was like, whoa, I'm back. Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, that was how I felt about Bowen as well. You know, when I was a kid, mm-hmm. every summer, you know, knowing that I was going to go to CNIB because we're going to head to the vans to get to the ferry to go to Bowen was amazing. You know, and that was part of the camp experience. But at the same time, I totally agree with you. I think the new location is going to challenge us. It's going to provide new experiences. It's going to teach us new things. And I think that's a new thrill that I, you know, hope I get to experience, because I think at the end of the day, it doesn't, where we do it doesn't necessarily matter. Yes, it's nice for nostalgia value, and it's nice to be able to be familiar with a location, like to the point where you know it, you know, like the back of your hand. But I think, like you said, Sean, it's the fact that we get to come together and we get to experience these new things and test our limits, you know, as a group. I think that's what really makes the big difference wherever we do it.
I am so relieved to hear that. I agree. But, you know, it's nice to hear from people who, especially from you, Clement, because you were attached to those locations, and you know, for you to say that, that is kind of reassuring that everyone will be okay.
Yeah, you know, and of course I miss those locations, you know, because I think we all do. For all of us who, you know, are part of that age group who remember those places, or even those, you know, even Nolan and Alethea, who you guys have been to Hornby a couple of times, you guys know, you guys know that area well. And, you know, I think we're all going to miss it. But I think new adventures are also thrilling. So I'm excited for that.
It is interesting to kind of think about some of the factors in going to a new location when you can't see. You know, when I think about my first time to Hornby, just like being surprised that, oh, we all take our shoes off when we go into the dining hall, and then we have to all find our shoes after. That's interesting. Or, you know, the carrying the plates of food around, or just even just finding my way from where the dining hall was to where the cabins were, and it's pretty far, and how, you know, how do you learn your way around here? So it'll be kind of like that for us, right? We'll have to learn a new location and the rules there, and what's challenging, like carrying the kayaks all the way out to the water, and that beach goes forever when the tide's out, and that's a long, heavy walk.
It's a long walk. Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, there's kind of the things that you need to learn and get used to. But yeah, the people will be the same-ish. You know, the campers, the families, the Blind Beginnings team will be the same. So there's comfort in that. And it will be a fun adventure for sure. So our summer camp has a new name. We're calling it Camp Limitless, because that way we can take it anywhere. If we end up going back to Hornby, it can still be Camp Limitless. If we stay at Camp Potlatch, where we're going this summer, it's Camp Limitless. And if Camp Potlatch doesn't work out and we have to find a new location again next year, then, you know, the name can stay the same. So that will be at the end of August, and we're very excited about that. Any final thoughts on camp?
Yeah.
Send your kids. Send your kids. And I say that half jokingly, but I'm also entirely serious. I think I know some parents are going to be anxious about sending their kids away for a week. I get it. I'm not a parent, but I've talked to enough parents that I do understand that is a very, very real concern for a lot of people. But, you know, especially with Blind Beginnings, and as someone who's been part of it for 16 years. Wow, that's crazy to say. Yeah. I can say that your kids, or if you're a youth listening, that you will get some amazing experiences if you let yourself go to camp. And it's going to be scary, especially if it's your first time. It will be daunting. It will be hard, but you couldn't ask for a better group of people. So parents, send your kids. Yeah. And youth, you know, take a risk and dive in with both feet and have fun, because that's what camp is all about.
Yeah. And I mean, our camp, you can come as a family, or you can, if your kid's a bit older, like 10 plus, they can come on their own. So let me ask you guys, is your preference to be there without your families, or to have your families come with you? I guess that's an awkward one to answer if your families are going to listen.
My family is going to hear this.
Yep.
And I will say this regardless.
Okay.
I love being away from that.
Yes.
Fair. That's fair.
Some time with your friends.
Without mm-hmm. your parents is nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. Yes. I will say it because I know my mom has a good sense of humor, but like, I think that I bring my mom as my transportation and I'm like, Mom, I don't want to see you at camp. Off you go. She's my transportation. Just That's get funny. Me there.
Right.
I remember her telling me that. I remember her telling me that, and I'm pretty sure I talked to her more that week than you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like a consensus because I know my family's not going to listen to this, so I can say it. Yeah, I definitely prefer to be on my own. I would actually love to be there with my family, and I am slightly jealous of people who are. But my family, first of all, they're not camp people. Mm-hmm. They're not people who are fans of the outdoors, and they like the city life, whereas I'm the complete opposite.
Yeah. It just reminded me of, I mean, I don't know. I've never had the experience of going to camp with my family either. We go camping, but not in this situation. That would be really interesting. I loved being away from them though, for sure. But I was thinking about when we used to do the family adventure camp and we became a staff family. So the group of vision teachers and me and the youth leaders that were volunteering, we yes. became our own family. And yes. being at camp does feel like, especially, you know, a smaller group like that, it was like 30 people usually in the early days, you know, you just sort of feel like you are a family, a yeah. community, which is pretty wonderful.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, all of you. It's been really great to reminisce about camp, and it's still a few months away, but we are going to be registration for camps is opening up now. So if we've convinced you, then get those forms in or request your registration form, sign up for camp, and have a good time with us this summer. But thank you, Nolan, Alethea, and Clement, for sharing your experiences today.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Camp's life-changing for me, and I want to request my registration, too.
Okay. Awesome. And thank you all for listening. Please join us next time.
This podcast has been brought to you by Blind Beginnings, an organization based in Vancouver, Canada, that supports children and youth who are blind or partially sighted, along with their families. Music for this podcast is composed by Sean Bishop and Clement Chow. Production and audio editing by Rob Minot. For more information about Blind Beginnings and the work it does to support children and youth who are blind and partially sighted, along with their families, visit us on the web at www.blindbeginnings.ca, and also remember to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We thank you for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you next time.